back up in the hills back there, it was, you heard it all the time in the seminary, that it took about 40 different men over a 1500 to 1600 year period to write the Bible, to be inspired and write it down, the books. And I listened to it, and I thought it was true, and I have used that ever since. But there is one tremendous advantage to coming to church whenever you possibly can. Now, I don't think God is nearly as hard on people as I did when I first came up here, because I've gotten to know him better, and I've also got to know the scriptures a lot better. You're pretty well forced into it after 40 years, because you just look at it and scriptures just start flowing in your mind. When I first came up here, that go into the scripture, others that are the same thing by different prophets from different time periods. And after about 30 years here, I was impressed. And now, at over 40 years, I know it's true. It would have been absolutely impossible for, say, 40 different men over a 1500 to 1600 year period to put this together and have all the scriptures intermesh. I've never found one that didn't intermesh. I found some that didn't fit with anything anywhere, but it fit with the general gist of the Bible. But any time my carnal nature starts cropping up and makes me think, well, what about this and what about that? I don't have to think very long anymore, because I now know this is inspired. It is the truth. You say, well, what would you have said the night you were baptized? I would have said the same thing. Why? Because that's what I'd been taught all my life. But the Bible wants to make its own case to you personally. And that's what preachers are supposed to do. They're supposed to share with you what they have learned and how consistent the Bible is all the way through it. And I've had people in the time since I was called to preach that would say, okay, I'll bring you a scripture you can't figure out. Well, I could. And it wasn't because I'm some super smart fella. It's that after a while, the Bible just kind of starts putting itself together. You don't have to be a synoptic analyst to figure it out. But it does help. And so when I preach something now, I have an entirely different relationship with God, because I've checked it, I've double-checked it, I've prayed about it, I've asked Him, change my mind if I thought this thing up, and I always know. And so this one tonight was one I preached a long time ago, and I also preached it back in about 2010. And I came across this, and I thought, well, Lord, how about this one? And he didn't start bothering me to change it, and I was scared to death at the last minute I was going to have to do something. But I preached this in 2010. Yeah. Well, Anna Mae was. Oh, Lord. I put a new heading on here, but the rest of it's the same message I preached. We are heading into the start of the final war after Obama. Well, I'm sure of that. The world is heading for the beginning of its final war. I'm sure of that. It shall terminate at its final Armageddon battle. I'm sure of that. Because the Bible clearly has a path. If you follow it, every one of these fit. Christ returns with the saints to bring his Israeli elect flesh and blood remnant into his thousand-year reign. And that was the thing that I didn't figure out till I'd been here about 32 years. And I kept praying about it and kept praying about it. And I couldn't get this peace in there where they would have a brief period of peace. But I knew the Bible taught that. So I prayed and prayed and prayed about it. So if you don't understand the scripture, I'm going to give you some advice. Ask God to help you understand it. And then just kind of set back, forget about it, because God doesn't forget about it. And when he thinks you ought to know that, he'll show you. That has worked all my life, especially since God called me to preach. And I highly recommend it. And when you ask him in the spirit, Lord, I don't know what this means. And the Holy Spirit's inside you. He heard you. And he's God. Jesus heard you. And God the Father heard you. Maybe it's just not time. So just be patient. You say, well, what good will that do? Maybe he wants to teach you some patience. Lord have mercy. The Lord has amazed me. Everything he does is always right. That'll be his Israeli elect flesh and blood remnant into the thousand-year reign. There will be on a planet flesh and blood he made in the beginning before Adam. There's going to be a millennial reign on it. There are going to people be here in people in bodies of flesh. Now, this next, I have to admit that I picked this up from the best Bible scholar we ever had in the seminary. And John talks about him all the time, so do I. He asked in class one day, and he didn't get an answer, and nobody ever seemed to be interested. He says, where does it say in the Bible that we'll be visible to those people in flesh and blood in the millennial reign? And I just sat there in shock. I thought, well, I never ran across it. So I began to look, and I began to look, and I began to look. I had been taught that was Christ in Daniel 9:27 when I was up in the hills with those poor old ignorant preachers. They taught me. And then I'm sitting down here in seminary, and they're all first of the weekers. The man I'm talking about, he was trying to teach down there, and he didn't want to get in a big row with them. John knows him. One day we were sitting in class, and everybody was in a stupor again. He said, turn over in your Bibles to Daniel 9:27. We turned over there, and he said, well, he says, y'all have had a little Hebrew now. He said, he wasn't a Hebrew. He was the teacher of Hebrew. He says, y'all have had a little Hebrew. He says, let me ask you a question. He said, which one of these up here in this verse, 27, which one of this is the precedent? We didn't even know what a precedent was. He said, you'll find that in Hebrew, just like in Greek, there's always a precedent. Like over there when it says, and that they shall feed them for time, times, and half times. You got to go up to the verse before it. And it's in there and it says they. And it's talking about the friendly nations toward them. But I didn't know any of that stuff when I went to the seminary. Those preachers back in the hills, they weren't able to teach me. But I thank God for them. They taught me some things that were right. And finally he said, what's the proceeding? And every one of them went up to the Antichrist, the prince that shall come. And I'm sitting there and I thought, he believes that's Jesus. And I said, could that be Jesus? He said, that is the precedent, Jesus. Well, I didn't say anything, and I kept my mouth shut. And I told Joe Carlton, we went, every time they had a chapel meeting, we'd sneak off and go up and study in the library. And boy, we just ate that up. And the truth of the matter is, when you get something that's the truth, it really excites you. And even as immature as we were, it really made us think. Now, on a planet made in the beginning before Adam, God creates new heavens and new earth after his reign. You can learn to pick out which one he's talking about. The more you learn Scripture, the more you know the prophetic Scriptures, the more you understand them, you can understand others and say whether it's the millennial reign or the final heaven age. It can be done. And it is awfully hard in Isaiah sometimes because he's talking about the invasion from the north of Sennacherib, the Assyrian, and at other times he's talking about the millennial reign that's coming that we're just about to go into, and at other times he jumps over to the heaven age and he talks about the heaven age a little. So it's very difficult. But you guys come to church all the time. And I'm going to tell you, it's not a waste of time. I guarantee you. You come down here, you listen to Leonard, you listen to Kenneth, you listen to me, you listen to Chuck, and you study, and you're coming down to these classes. Let me tell you, this is going to be a blessing in your life. Because pretty soon, you look there and you say, oh, that's the millennium. Oh, that's the heaven age. And you can be sure of it. So this is something that I preached a long time ago, and then I preached in 2010. Isaiah 66:22-24. For as the new heavens and new earth, now this is the last chapter in Isaiah. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make. Now he says, I'm going to make this. So you know this isn't the millennial reign, and you know that this is not going to talk about his reign here, his time here on earth, shall remain before me. I looked up all the words in there. What it means? It's in the future, and he's in the millennium, talking about the millennium, when he says, and as the new heavens and new earth which I shall make shall remain before me. Isaiah's just finished writing about the millennium, and he says now, the new heaven and the earth at this time, in the millennium, he said, it's still ahead of me. So shall your seed and your name remain. Okay, what's he talking about? Well, I'm the seed of Marshall. And Marshall was the seed of my Papa Mac. And Tom was my seed. Michael's my seed. And so they're physical. That's physical. That's not spiritual. He's talking about the remnant that comes through the tribulation, through the actual vials of wrath. All the 144,000 go up on the seven trumpet. But some of them believe their testimony in the actual vials of wrath, and they stay right there in flesh, and they're just like you and I. Sinful bodies, sinful carnal natures, sealed, saved souls. And they come into the millennium. And when they come in, I know that it has to be a millennial because they say talking about seed. And it's not talking about spiritual seed. There aren't going to be any children in heaven. And they're not going to keep each other's names. I don't expect a breakout of people in heaven giving physical birth. Also consider this. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, there's the millennial sacrifices. You're not going to offer them in the heaven age. And from one Sabbath to another, there's the worship of the Sabbath. And all flesh, and they shall go forth. And, this has to be the millennium. And look upon the carcasses of the men that they have transgressed against me, and their worm shall not die. That means the thing that makes the seed, or to that, not quite that blunt, but it's something like that. Neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Now look how it blends in with these others. This shows you how gracious God is. It shows you how, if you study, and you want to know what God has to say, and every one of you do, and I do. And it's not a question of the pastor knows everything. It's a question of people in the church know more things about some things than the pastor. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what any pastor wants, because that's the purpose of the church, to know Jesus and to be able to go out, and when they think you're a nice person, and every one of you are nice people, then they'll listen to what you have to say. How did you get to be nice people? God made you that way. God learned you. God taught you how to control. He teaches us all this stuff. And then when we go out there, people like us. It's just that way. I didn't have to be liked to run a weather outfit. I didn't have to learn to be liked. I just told them what to do, and they did it. But we had to take the Dale Carnegie course, so at least I learned how to be nice to them. Now in Malachi, look how this corresponds. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn this oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Well, I know it wasn't an eagle, but didn't it mean basically the same thing when Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest and stonest the prophets and them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you under my wings as a mother hen gathers her chickens, and ye would not. They never learned that they didn't have any power except what God gave them, and God had to always deliver them when they got so immoral he couldn't stand them. Well, he still loved them. Don't take that last expression wrong. That's why their house was messed up to the desolate. That's why he said they wouldn't see him again until he returned. And he's not returning for them, at least those in the Negev that go into the vials of wrath. He's not going to get them until he comes back at the second atonement. Oh, he's just going to take them right on in with him. He says, and the day cometh that shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. He'll be as bright as the sun. He'll be the brightest figure in heaven. And ye shall tread down the wicked. My goodness, that's the same thing as the carcasses. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. I was very grateful. I mentioned it before. I won't mention it again. When Leonard was brought up that those people that between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, that it was God that did that. And I had always thought it was the devil that rebelled, but I appreciate information that anyone gives me. And I've always been that way, and I've always said that in truth, if it comes from God, I want it. And if it comes from God and makes sense, I really want it. So this isn't a question of anything other than this. These classes are to help us to understand more about what we already know. And we always go from the unknown to the known. And if you don't ever learn anything new, my friend, you are not very well versed in the Bible, because you learn more from things that you have to change than you do from things that you never heard of in the first place. He says in Ezekiel 39:11-13, it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. They would always go up on the east of the sea and bypass Samaria, because Judah just never would forgive them for going up there and leaving the temple worship and building their own place up there to worship. And so they would go up on the passenger side, and that's where most people, they call it the pasture side, because they would go up on that side and go around. But the Lord went straight through. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. And the disciples said, why are you doing this? He knew he was going to meet that woman at the well. He knew it was going to happen. You say, well, yeah, he did. By his foreknowledge, he knew it did. And I'll tell you something, God also operates in predestination on what he already knows. He didn't predestinate you to be saved, and you to be lost, and you to be saved, and you to be lost. He didn't sit down in an eternity of counsel and say, we're going to do this. Wasn't that complicated? He just said, we're going to save everybody that puts their faith in Jesus Christ. And that was it. And that's foreknowledge. And he knew which ones wouldn't and wouldn't. Wouldn't. And so then, he'd act on it. And God prepared me before I ever came here. And he did it on foreknowledge. He didn't force me to do this. He predestinated me to do it after he already knew what choice I would make. But it's all based on your choice in accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you have the responsibility to be baptized, not to be saved. And you have responsibility to observe him correctly. And you have a responsibility to come and listen to people preach the word that God preaches through them out of his book. And that's the happy life. That's what he meant when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You follow that path after you're saved, you'll find peace. You'll find some valleys and hills, and you'll find some problems and troubles. But you'll discover that out of the problems and troubles, God changes you into what you're supposed to be if you'll let him. That's a good message Chuck preached. I was real impressed with that. Now, let's go on down to Isaiah 66, 14 through 22. Okay, now we went through Isaiah 66, 22 through 24, which is among the last in the book. And now let's go back up above it and go. Let's go from 14 down to 22. We'll repeat 22 when we get down to it. He says, and when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. That's written over there in one of those tunnels. And it was written back in the days of Isaiah, they say. And your bones shall flourish as an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. He's going to show you something that he's going to do to his enemies. He says, for the Lord shall come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind. That sounds just like the other prophets, doesn't it? You'd almost think they had the same God, wouldn't you? To render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. He's going to take care of our enemies. So this is something that I treasure, because I'm going to be protected by God. You say, well, what if you die? I'll die in the protection of God. That'll be even better, because I don't think he'll let me die a horrible death. But I'm not sure of that. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. I mean, what's coming up in this millennial thing is going to be something that is wild, willy, and the weirdos. By his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. As Chuck so aptly pointed out, the word of God is the sword. And a sword extends out of his mouth. And he destroys them with his own weaponry. In the 19th chapter of Revelation. Man, I tell you, if you ever get hooked on this, and I think you are, then nothing is going to stop you from studying this. And nothing. Because if you finally realize, the Lord's right here with me. He's right here in me. He's right here in this church. And he's going to be here to defend us. Why, it makes life so much more pleasant. And you can concentrate on finding out more about him, so you'll have even more confidence. I came to a point in my life, I said, I don't know how in the world I can have any more confidence in you, Lord. And then I got a whole bunch more. Because he's just wonderful. And purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst. That's what they did on the high hills in Jerusalem. And they would eat swine's flesh. And I heard one teacher say, I wonder what those pigs were doing up there when he cast out those demons, and they all went in the hogs and went down into the water. He said, that's certainly strange. They were right there on the border of Israel. Of course, that's just opinion. And the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together. The abomination was the pig meat. And the mouse shall be consumed together. Now, everything I've read on this and studied, I can't say with 100% accuracy, but I believe this was a hamster. That's the majority opinion, and I've been told that hamsters taste pretty good. I can't picture a little girl having a hamster as a pet and then eating the hamster. Can you, Donna? But that's what they say it is, and that was also a form. If you look at it, it looks like a rat, but it also has, I think, in some part of the pig tree. Anyway, it was an abomination. For I know their works and their thoughts, it shall come, and I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. That's the millennial reign. Has to be the millennial reign. And I will set a sign upon them, and I will send those that escape of them into the nations. Now, this is the end of the millennial reign. This is the beginning of the millennial reign. This is when he comes back. And here is where Ezekiel's army comes down in the 39th chapter of Ezekiel, the 39th chapter of Ezekiel. And when they come down, they destroy 5/6 of the Antichrist army. And then you go right on over, right after that, and they head up north. They're going back. That 1/6 is going to rush back. They see this. They see what God did. And they run back up there and they tell them. And when they tell them, that 1/6 tells them, they're going to be believed. Now notice, event the name. Tarshish established a sea colony on the northeastern corner of Spain. And they eventually went all the way around Europe and all the seaports, all the way up into Norway and Denmark, all the way up through there. They were a coastal people. Pull and Lud, they were the ones that were up in the northern part of, up in Syria and up through there, that draw the bow to Tubal, they were up there too, and Javan, they were all over the place, they were great archers, to the isles afar off. To them, that was the Mediterranean, but I think that we're supposed to understand that probably means us too, that have not heard my fame, neither seen my glory. They didn't see him when he came back in the heavens. At least some of them didn't. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and bring my Gentiles and all nations upon horses and chariots and litters, and upon mules and upon mules. And upon swift beasts to the holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring in offering, here we go with the millennial reign, in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord, and I will use also of them for priests and Levites, saith the Lord, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make after this, well, he says, shall remain before me, it's something I'm going to do in the future, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Now the beginning of all this, of this Isaiah 66, is very interesting. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you and cast you out for my name's sake. I wonder who that is. Said, let the Lord be glorified, for he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple. They're going to get warning of this before it happens. The temple is going to be rebuilt. And guess who's going to rebuild it? Jesus. Well, guess who's leading all the preachers God called right now? Guess who's doing it? We're being used. He's going to use the remnant to rebuild the temple. And we're going to stand out there and they won't see us and we'll watch it. And heaven only knows what we're going to do, but I can't wait. It's hard for me to wait sometimes. When I get to thinking about this, I think, oh my goodness, 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 goodness. And the first, I'll never forget, I'd been up here for about 5 years, and one day I said to myself and God, I said, Lord, this is all true. Because when you start to understand the Word, and you start to see how it fits, you couldn't have had 40 different men write it in a 1500 to 1600 year period, and for it to fit together, because most of them didn't even know each other. I'm getting excited here. I'm going to have to slow down. He says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at the word, your brethren that hated you and that cast you out for my name's sake, let the Lord be glorified. And isn't that what we, I think we use that word now more than we use any other word. Glorified, 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 glorified. And I think that's wonderful, because I didn't used to use it all that much. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Those people that are going to come out of that millennial reign, and the Lord's going to bring them out, they're going to be ashamed. And rightly so. But I guarantee you they'll get over it. And I guarantee you they're going to be the happiest Israelites that ever lived over there in all of Israeli history. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that renders recompense to his enemies. God's going to equalize everything. All the terrible things that happened to Israel and all the things that they suffered, God's going to pour it on the Gentiles. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, She was delivered of a man-child. This is one of the most intriguing scriptures, I think, in the Bible. He says, before... before she travailed, she brought forth. You know, Israel was having great prosperity when Jesus came. They really were. They were in a very prosperous time. Go back and check it out. They were in a very prosperous time. They weren't having any problems of any great nature. You say, well, they were under conquest of Rome. Rome treated them pretty good. As long as they paid their taxes, and they could, a Jew can always make money, and that's a terrible thing to say, but they can. She was delivered of a man-child. Jesus was born in Pax Romania. He was born in the Pax time of peace. And Mary, by the instruction of Gabriel, was told she was going to have Emmanuel, God with us. And he says, who hath heard of such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Now remember, this is Isaiah, and he understands this, I think, but they didn't always understand. But God told him this. I know he understood. God told him this, and I don't know if it's... But I'll just tell you what. It came from God. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? God brought forth in one day the king of Israel. And God's going to bring one day when the remnant comes out. When shall a nation be born at once? It will be born at once at the second atonement when Jesus comes and leads them back. And a nation will be born at once. Look at Romans 11:26. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Zion is going into travail into a period of wrath. And Christ is going to return to save her. And then she is going to bring forth the Messiah who will bring himself forth. And when she does that, Israel will start to bring forth her children. And there are going to be a lot of Israelites born in the tribulation period. And I just can't wait to watch all this. Man, the more I study this, and in the past I've gotten some things wrong, and I may get some things wrong here, but I know that the pattern is right. And I know that I'm going to get to see this. And everybody loves a good surprise. Everybody loves a good surprise. And I will enjoy it more because I'll be surprised. I thought that meant that, but it didn't. Well, I tell you what, when God surprises you, I think you're more grateful than when you think you already know it. Shall I bring forth the birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? He said, do you think I'm not going to let my kingdom come forth as I promised? He said, saith my Lord, rejoice ye with Jerusalem. You want to know why you love Jerusalem? Because God lives in you. And he's the apple of their eye. And be glad with her, all ye that love her. I never understood why I loved the Jews so much. And I just couldn't understand it because I grew up in a society that didn't like Jews. And I could give you some illustrations, but I want to get you out of here a little early. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. I don't remember. I was breastfed. But it must have been great. Because Mom said I cried a lot and ate all the time. That she may milk out. You ever see a baby after he milks out and he just lays there and he's so calm and he's so peaceful. He hasn't got a worry in the world until he gets a stomach ache. Well, you're not going to get a stomach ache in heaven. And be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Can you imagine? How delighted we're going to be? I don't think you can find a word that fits there. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, Well, then it's supposed to be a river that goes out of the gates of the temple and goes out into the sea, East Sea, and then it's supposed to go out and flush out all the salt, or at least most of it. And the glory of Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, and ye shall be born upon her sides. Israel will then become the dominant nation on the earth. I don't mind that at all. It doesn't matter whether I do or not. I like that because that's what God's going to do. And be daddled up on her knees. I remember Papa Mac, when he would come down there, he would daddle me on my knees. You ever do that? And Mom would daddle me, and Dad would daddle me. And by the time the day was over, I'd just been daddled to death. And I thought, I hope they've all gone to bed. But that's just imagination. In any case, I liked it. They said I would giggle and laugh every time they did it. And I didn't understand what they said, so I couldn't quit. I just kept doing it. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. When I needed money, there was always good old Mom. And she would comfort me so I could go to the football game. And this is going to be a whole lot better than a football game. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Boy, we're going to be comforted more than they are. Can you imagine us, this group, standing over there and looking down and seeing all this happen? I imagine we're going to be tied up with doing some other stuff, but I imagine we'll get a leave sometime to come home and watch all this. And I'm not worried about fairness. Whatever God does is fair. Oh, boy.